This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Local Governments Committee to order. I'd like to welcome everybody today and greet our internet listeners if we have any. Hopefully we have a couple out there. A reminder to everybody to have your cell phones turned off or on silent. There's a penalty if they go off in the committee. And at this time, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Barthel.
Here.
Chafee. Excused. Schwach.
Here.
Freimuller. Excused. Greenfield. Hammack.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Overweg.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
Sullivan. Excused. York. Excused. Otten. We do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. So next up is the approval of the minutes. We have a motion. Representative Chafee is first. Do I have a second to approve the minutes? Representative Greenfield. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Minutes are approved. Yay. All right, remind all the testifiers to sign in and ensure if you're a lobbyist that you're wearing your badges today. And remind my testifiers that if you have any handouts, please distribute those through the pages. This time I'd like the pages to come up and say a little bit about themselves.
My name is Caleb Weiland. I'm from Beresford. I'm a senior. I will be attending the University of South Dakota next year to get a degree in political science, civic leadership, and Spanish.
Hi, I'm Emily Wadle. I'm a senior at James Valley Christian in Huron, and I don't have my life quite that planned out yet.
That's all right. You have plenty of time to figure that stuff out. So do we have any personal privileges today from the committee? If not, just comment. At the end of the aisles, there are a couple boxes of treats down there yet left over from the A committee if anybody cares to have one. Okay, so we're going to get into the bill hearings. First up is House Bill 1116, Revised Provisions Regarding the Use of Perpetual Care Trust Funds to Maintain Cemeteries. Do we have any proponent testimony? Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Representative Lee Quam, District 21. Today I have before you a bill that pertains to perpetual cemeteries. It's really a very simple bill. All it does is lowers the amount of money that needs to be maintained in the trust fund for municipalities under 5,000 in population. It's nothing too earth-shattering. So with that, I will stand by for questions, and there's someone else that wants to testify as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony.
Greetings to the committee. I want to thank Chairman Otten and the committee members for hearing our bill request. I want to thank Lee Quam for working with our group to revise the trust fund requirements regarding dispensation of perpetual funds for perpetual cemeteries.
Can I get you to state your name, please?
I am Connie Wagner. I am Secretary of the Platte City Cemetery Board. Our funeral director intended to come today, but he got a call in the night, and that took precedence over our needs here. Our city cemetery was organized in 1923 and incorporated in 1929 as a perpetual care cemetery. It is nearly 100 years old, and we have nearly 4,000 people that rest on our grounds. And at that time, the bylaws called for a perpetual fund that would care for the grounds, ornament, beautify, and improve the land, and no profits would be derived by any member of the organization. Over the years, many laws have come into existence regulating this cemetery and many other cemeteries in the state of South Dakota. I want you to know not every cemetery in South Dakota is considered a perpetual care. There are exclusions, and those exclusions are cemeteries that are run by governments, by churches, by military organizations. The laws are applicable to large cemeteries in cities of thousands of people, and the same laws apply to our small cemetery in Platte. Because there's a high potential for abuse in this kind of a situation, it is possible that a cemetery could take the perpetual care funds and not invest them. They could take the interest out and not spend it on upkeep. And I understand there were incidents where perpetual funds dwindled due to folks helping themselves. So lawmakers enacted regulations directed at how the income from the sale of plots was managed. And later I will review some of those laws. I just want to talk a little bit about how perpetual care works. Perpetual care funds come from the sale of plots. The funds go to many different aspects of cemetery upkeep, care of individual lots and graves, maintenance of borders, drives, and walkways, repair and upkeep of enclosures and buildings, security and gate access, and future expansion or protection and development. Because this type of service can be expensive, and because cemeteries have limited space and cannot count on incoming money forever, they sidestep the issue and create a perpetual care fund. In fact, South Dakota requires this in order to ensure that cemeteries do not fall into disarray and disrepair. By law, the money that comes in for perpetual care is invested in such a way that it will continue to provide the needed repair funds in perpetuity. It works much like any kind of large savings account. By putting the savings in a stock, bond, or security or other investment with a safe, guaranteed return, it's possible to only take out the interest that accrues. The fund itself remains intact so that it will continue to provide interest for decades to come. So here is our concern. South Dakota Codified Law 93218, Perpetual Care Trust Fund, it's the crediting of income, where it requires that payments for perpetual care shall be permanently set aside in a trust fund, and only the income from the trust fund investment shall be used for the care and maintenance, meaning that we can only use the interest off of that perpetual care fund. South Dakota Codified Law 932.20.1. Use of the Perpetual Care Trust Fund to maintain the cemetery. Any municipality may expend a portion of the Perpetual Care Trust Fund to maintain the cemetery. So this allows us to use some of that Perpetual Care Fund. However, only amounts in excess of $50,000 may be expended and used for cemetery purposes. For expenditures in excess of $5,000, notice of hearing shall be published twice with a second notice not less than 10 days in advance of the hearing. Well, I'm here to tell you that Platte, South Dakota's perpetual care fund is not even close to $50,000. So we have money there that we cannot access because of law. So I'm suggesting a bill that says municipalities less than 5,000 people, and that would include Platte and many other towns in South Dakota, only amounts in excess of $25,000 may be expended. And then it says the expenditures in excess of $2,500 may be used, but we have to give a notice of hearing. I believe the limits in South Dakota Codified Law 932.20.1 were meant to address the larger cemeteries located in larger communities. Platt is about 1,300 people, and I don't believe it's fair to have the same laws apply to us that apply to cemeteries in Sioux Falls, Rapid City, Aberdeen, and the other large communities. I did a little bit of a comparison to Woodlawn Cemetery in Sioux Falls compared to Platt. Woodlawn is one of 8 cemeteries in Sioux Falls. Community size 180,000, Platt's around 13. They were incorporated in 1905, Platt in 1929. Woodlawn is 80 acres, and we're 10. Plot price at Woodlawn is $1,500, and in Platt it's $250. So you can see our perpetual fund is not going to grow as quickly. Our request is simple. We don't want to change the laws. We just want to have an additional law that will make it fair and workable for smaller communities. Again, we're asking for communities with less than 5,000 people that the perpetual fund that we can use the monies out of be lowered to $25,000 and the single expenditure $2,500. Thank you for hearing me today. Please approve House Bill 1116, move it through the House, pass to the Senate for final approval by the governor. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you. We'll hold the questions for a little bit and give other individuals an opportunity to speak either for or against the bill, and then we'll move into questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Do we have any other proponent testimony in House Bill 1116? Seeing none, we'll move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponent testimony in House Bill 1116, we don't need a rebuttal, so I'll waive that, and we'll move into committee questions. Do I have any questions, Representative Chafee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question to the sponsor. Thank you. If this bill should be successful pass, what implications do you see that having on a sexton?
On a what?
The person engaged in taking care of a graveyard or churchyard maintenance.
I've never heard that term before, so I appreciate the definition.
As a grave digger digging into soils.
Oh, okay. I really don't think there's any implications, at least not that I can see. Thank you for the question.
I thought you were talking about a sheep or something, maybe. I think that's a breed of sheep anyways. No, I haven't, actually.
I have.
No? Well. All right, do we have any further committee questions? Representative Mulally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I had to think about that for a second because she's down there staring at me.
Stop staring at him. Does the ability to withdraw the money from these perpetual accounts to maintain the cemeteries, is a person in charge voted in by the community? Or are they appointed, or are they... I'm sorry, it's kind of a strange question. I'm not real sure who can answer the question. I apologize. Thank you. I assumed one of you would be able to.
Perpetual cemeteries are governed by a board of directors, and the decision to withdraw monies or to use funds always is a decision and agreed upon by the board. The treasurer and the president have the ability to write checks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question. How is the board of directors chosen?
They're elected. There's always a notice in the paper that there will be a meeting of the Platte City Cemetery Board, and the public is invited to come. And we have an election of officers every year.
Okay, any further questions? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony portion of this, move into committee discussion and or action.
Chairman.
Representative Chafee.
I make a motion to pass.
Second.
All right, I have a do pass motion with the first from Representative Chafee, a second from Representative Hammack. Any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chairman, as a sexton for the family cemetery we have on the ranch, I would think this is a great idea.
Any further discussion on the motion at hand? All right. Seeing no further discussion, I have a first by Representative Chafee, a second by Representative Hammack with the do pass motion on House Bill 1116. I'll have the Secretary call the vote.
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwab.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
13 yay.
House Bill 1116 will hit the House floor with the do pass motion. By a vote of 13-0, and this does qualify for consent, so we'll put it on the consent calendar.
Motion for consent.
You don't need the motion anymore.
Nope.
So, you're good to go.
Thank you.
Not just a state law, but it's all. All right, now we're going to, on our calendar, we had bills for possible action, which had prior hearings, so we had a hearing on House Bill 1165 last week, and we held that bill over to do a little work on it. So I will reopen the hearing on House Bill 1165, which revises provisions regarding the acceptance of gifts by municipalities. So I'll take proponent testimony, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I would appreciate if the committee would move Amendment 1165B.
I'm sorry, I was interrupted.
I had asked that Amendment 1165B be moved.
All right. And who was my first on that? Representative Greenfield. And Barthel was my second. All right. So we have Amendment 1165B. Do you care to talk about that before we vote on that?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we were working through House Bill 1165, there were some concerns with real property, and I think this amendment will satisfy those issues. And the main point, there was a little bit changing around of the language to make it clear, but the real part of this amendment that makes the changes that we were discussing was to strike from the original bill Line 14, or agreed to under the policy established by resolution of the governing body. So that will be removed. The period remains. So they'll now end on line 14 with body and board, period. And then a new sentence was added. A municipality may, by resolution, establish a policy for the acceptance of gifts of personal property of value below an amount determined by the governing board. And so real property is removed from the ability to be part of a policy. And it also added in the amount determined, which, you know, it is good to have in there to let the board know, but they could have done that within their policy anyway. But I think it's very good to notify the governing board that, hey, you can put a value on that you would only allow the policy to enact. So if anything's over that, then it'd have to go to the full council or commission or whatever the governing body is. So I ask for your approval of this amendment.
Okay, do we have any further discussion or questions on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative York?
I personally love the amendment because you're giving it back to the locals. Time and time again, we try and make a rule for the entire state. What works in Minnehaha County is not going to work in Harding County, I'll tell you that. So I do approve your amendment, and I'd make a motion, if that's in order right now, to... Okay.
Representative Hammack?
Mr. Chair, for the representative, on line six, any municipality may accept any gift, request, or devise of real or personal property. Did you intend to leave the word real in there?
Mr. Chair? Yes, we do. Okay. It's always, you know, real property has always been able to be accepted by a municipality, but the point here is it has to go through the acceptance of the council or commission or whatever the governing body is.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further questions, Representative Mullally?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the amendment, though, it states gifts of personal property, and you distinguish in line six the differentiation between real property and personal property. Real property is being left out of both. I mean, it's in one and out of the other. So I'm a little confused.
Mr. Chair. So if you look at the bill, real or personal property was always in 9-38-32. And that's what that's saying, is that a city can still accept that real property, right? But it has to go through the governing body. The last sentence says, for personal property only, you can accept the gifts as long as you can accept the gifts through a policy that has been voted on by the governing body, but for personal property only.
Thank you. Any questions on that? Do we have any proponents or opponents in the audience as to the amendment? I will offer that up because this is being done a little bit differently today since I had a prior hearing. All right. I don't see any. So we have the motion at hand is a first from Representative Greenfield, a second from Representative Barthel to amend with 1165B. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So amended. Okay, now we are on House Bill 1165 as amended. I think I've ran through the options for proponent and opponent testimony, so I don't think we really need any rebuttal, but do we have any questions of the committee on the bill as amended? Sure. Representative Hammack.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
Okay, so I'm assuming no questions. So I have a first by Representative Hammack, a second by Representative Chafee. Do we have any comments on that motion?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hammack.
I'd just like to express appreciation to Representative Reed and to the Municipal League for working these questions out for us. I think they were good questions and certainly a satisfactory resolution. So thank you.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none. All right, we have a do pass motion on a House Bill 1165 is amended with a first from Representative Hammack, second from Representative Chafee. I'll have the secretary call the vote.
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Freimuller. Oh, excuse me. Greenfield. Hammack.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Aye. Sullivan?
Aye.
York?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
We have 12 yea, 1 excused.
So House Bill 1125, as amended, has been affirmed with a vote of 12-0 and will go to the floor with the due pass motion. This does qualify for consent, so I will put it on consent unless anybody objects.
Mr. Chair, with the amendment on it, does it qualify?
Yeah, you can still do that now with all the changes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm going to place it on consent. You know your options are at some point in time before it gets to the floor. If you or any other member does not wish it to be on consent, it can always be pulled. So 1165, as amended, will be put on the consent calendar. All right, that is the end of our bills for today. Is there anything for the good of the committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Representative Chafee.
Second.
Second for Representative Reed. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. We are adjourned. Thank you.